Hi, I'm John. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the director of our provincial churches. At Victory, we are committed to plant churches all over the Philippines, believing that together we can disciple this nation. Hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
When he was talking about when we were partaking of communion, I just really remembered, I hope you understand, whenever we gather here, we're not remembering. I know when we celebrate, observe communion, we're remembering the death of Christ. And that is a historical event. It happened in history. But I hope you realize it's not a commemoration. It's not a memorial. Well, in a way it is. But the Jesus we call upon is very much alive today. He's risen from the dead. And so, Dr. Elsie also said it this way, where when we call upon God, he's not just a historical Jesus, he's a presiding Jesus. The word preside, I think we understand that one who calls the meeting to order, if you will. And I think that's a very apt way. When Jesus, when we're gathered here, we're gathered in Christ's name. And guess what? He presides. He's the one who orchestrates our gathering, and he does it by his Spirit. And so God is present. How do you know if someone, well, at least God, how do you know that God is present? The way you know that God is present is he speaks. And what we do here, I know we hear human voices, but I hope you realize God uses human voices to speak through that human voice. That's what the scriptures are. It's God's word through human writers. And when Andy was saying, I'd like to think that God was speaking through her. And my hope is that as we go through the preaching of the word today, you will hear God's word living, not just lessons for you, although it is lessons, but something you can receive and saying, Lord, I want to respond to your living word so that I can walk this walk of faith. And so I thought I'd say that because when we look at this series that we've been in the last few weeks, I can't help but be really stirred by the sense of, the faith ventures that God is calling us to. Remember, this is about extraordinary faith. We call it faith like no other. We've looked at several heroes of the Bible, whether it was Noah, who built a boat when there had not even been rain. There was no such thing as precipitation, at least as the Bible was concerned. It took about 100 years before the rains came. And so people thought he was crazy for building a boat, but he knew God said, I'm going to bring judgment on the earth, and so build the ark. And so because of that, he not only saved his family, he saved humanity. And the human race began once again. Then, of course, we learned about Jonathan and his armor bearer who fought against a sizable army, much bigger than him, not a thousands, but about 30 to 50, if I understand, or even 100. And they were just two, and how they could have won that fight against insurmountable odds. And all he said was, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? And I made reference to that 2 weeks ago, the other week when that was preached. And that's my point in what I'm going to be saying before we look at this final story. And then, of course, Elijah, who, despite the threats of being killed by Jezebel, was renewed and refreshed. So all I'm saying is, what gives you confidence to be able to face the pressures of the opposition of the enemy for you to make your stand of faith in Christ? And the answer is, going back to Jonathan, because, and this is something I hope, if you've been going to this church a long time or a short time, in essence, this is really, I believe, the key to understanding your relationship with God, and that is we are in covenant relationship with God. If you don't understand that, you will have no boldness. You will have no confidence. When the pressures come, you will capitulate to that. And that's what we're trying to understand, because as we look into this story, this final story in this series, you will realize this faith can sometimes literally put you at risk of death. And so with that, I want us to turn to, well, swipe in your devices, okay? Esther chapter 4, verse 9 to 17. My suggestion, because this particular story is, because it's like you have to read it in one sitting to appreciate it. So we're just going to read a portion, and then I'll make some more comments so that you'll appreciate what the faith venture is for us this afternoon. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach. I hope I'm pronouncing it well. Hathach. Okay. And commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. I've entitled this, The Faith of Queen Esther, and as one campus missionary preached years ago in our campus conference, the subtitle is, Patay Kung Patay. Father, thank you that your words are spirit and life to us. I ask, Lord, that you would open up your word to us. Lord, let the spirit of truth rest upon us today. Lord, thank you that though these circumstances may not be real to us in this moment of our lives, yet you want us to be a people prepared, Father, for the days ahead and for what you want to accomplish through your people. And so bless and anoint the preaching of your word by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of Esther is a dramatic account of how the Jews were preserved from annihilation by a man named Haman as a remnant people who were scattered across the Medo-Persian Empire from Ethiopia to India. Okay, as you know, we have to understand the context. This probably took around the years 486 to 465 BC, when the Medo-Persian Empire was the dominant empire and the Jews had already been scattered. In 586 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed also, because the Lord brought judgment after many decades of patience because of backslidden Israel, and so the Jews were scattered all over. And after 70 years, the Lord was faithful to bring a remnant back, but not all the Jews returned, and many of them remained in the nations that they were in. And this is an important part of biblical history, because after the Babylonian Empire, it was the Persians, Medo-Persians, okay, modern-day Iran, for context. Then the Greeks, Alexander the Great. You know, I never liked history until I began to read the Bible. This is amazing. This is not just legend, okay? Then the Romans, and then Jesus. So this is very much history And you can imagine the pain of being a scattered people. Of course, we can identify with that. I think many people, we realize we're one of the modern diaspora nations, isn't it? Before it was the Chinese, then it was the Indians, now it's the Filipinos who are scattered all over the world, isn't it? There are other migrant populations, but I think we understand. Alam natin kung ano yung nahasik tayo sa iba't ibang bansa. And when you're a foreigner in an alien country, it's difficult. There's a pressure to conform to where you're at. And yet, as we read the story, we find something miraculous taking place. And in that, God was still faithful to preserve a remnant of people. And this will be something important for us to understand. Despite the unfaithfulness of Israel as a nation, God still preserved a remnant. And you'll understand this. This is one of the most important foundations of God selecting a people. And it will make sense to every single one of you, for those of you who call yourselves a follower of Christ. And so, the story goes on in chapter 1, where the queen of Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, was deposed, Queen Vashti, because she would not be displayed, by the king. And reading this and studying this, let me say at the outset, some theologians have a problem with the morality, if you will, of this book. Why? Because there's so much violence, annihilating people, and you know, Ahasuerus was a pagan king. He had a harem, okay? And so, this is R16, okay? Hindi to, okay? We're not going to tell you the details of the R16, but you understand, this is not child material, if you will. But yet, there's theological lessons for us that if we take to heart, it will help strengthen your faith. Queen Vashti was removed, and so there was a search for a new queen. And he went through all the 127 provinces from Ethiopia to India. And one of those was chosen was a girl named Hadassah, which means a myrtle tree or one pleasant and joy. And she was also called Esther. And I think she's a familiar character. She, in a way, we can call it like she entered a beauty contest, if you will. But really, as you look at the text, it wasn't like she entered into it. Now, anyway, we have some beauty queens in our church, okay? No, seriously, we've had them in the past, okay? So, what's my point? I forgot my point. So she was chosen, and she replaced. By the way, the word Esther, this is interesting, Ian. Actually, Esther means hidden. So she was not allowed by Mordecai, the uncle, to reveal her identity as a Jew. And I think for good reason, because as we will find out, they were going to be persecuted and threatened to be annihilated. Mordecai, the uncle, actually magpinsan sila, pero he adopted her, was a prominent Jew in the citadel of Susa, and he exposed an assassination attempt against King Xerxes. Kaya lang, nakalimutan, hindi na alala yung tulong na ginawa ni Mordecai. And that's going to be in the story. And in the meantime, an official named Haman was promoted, and this dude is talagang galit sa mga Jews, and you'll find out why. And when he was expecting people to bow down to him, Mordecai would not bow to him. And so he was so angry, he wanted not just to kill Mordecai, he wanted the whole Jewish people to be annihilated. Okay, so that's the background. So what I'm going to share with you are 5 faith lessons from this story. And as I said, I wish I could give you a more detailed background, because you only appreciate it fully when you understand how the story unfolds. This is one of the It's such a dramatic story. It's such a literary genius piece. I think this is, I don't know if this has been made a Hollywood movie already. I mean, all these other movies, when you look at the plots, and there's a clincher to this, which I'll tell you later on, why this story is such a powerful account of God's intervention in the lives of his people. And so I want to tell you give you five faith lessons from this story, okay? And as I said, please go ahead and read it when you go home. Number one is the Lord surrounds his people with favor for a purpose. Hadassah or Esther was a nobody. Okay, nagkataon lang dahil maganda siya. And you look at the scriptures. I'm going to read you portions of the scriptures. Esther 2, 8, 9. So when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, when many young women were gathered in Susa in custody of Haggai, Esther was also taken. And so this helps me understand. It's not like Esther presented herself to be part of the harem. I mean, that was what this was going to be. But obviously, she was taken. So maybe, whether it was against her will or not, I guess you don't have much of a choice, isn't it? So in this context, we need to realize God's people were living in adverse circumstances. They had no choice but to submit to the authorities. And many Christians to this day are under that. In fact, you know, we don't have a difficult time being a Christian in our nation, isn't it? Thank God for the freedom we have in this nation. But as you'll find out, not all of our brethren are in the same circumstances. And it's not easy to be a Christ follower in those countries. And yet they still witness for Christ. So anyway, notice this. Verse 9, and the young woman, Esther, pleased him and won his favor. And he quickly provided for her with cosmetics and portion of food with 7 chosen young women from the king's palace and advanced her in young women to the best place in the harem. So actually, they were going to be subjected to beauty treatments, okay? And wala na tong verse nito, but let me read it anyway. Now, when the turn came from each young woman to go in to King Ahasuerus, after being 12 months under the regulations of the women, since there was a regular period for beautifying, so 1 year ang beauty preparation, mga kapatid. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with spices and ointments for women. Now, when I think about spices and ointments, ano kaya to? Hindi naman siguro ito yung sa dun, di ba? Ano yung spices ng dun, okay? Baka yung cinnamon, I don't know, tawas lang yung ginagamit ng alam ko. Sorry, I don't use tawas, okay? I don't know what the beauty treatments are. I mean, you ladies should know that, okay? So, thank God for beauty treatments. After 1 year, each of these women would be presented to the king. I mean, it's, okay, no more details, okay? And so whoever was chosen would be the queen. And guess what happened? Esther was the one chosen because she won the favor of the king. Listen, Psalm 5 says, God surrounds us with favor as with a shield. If you're a Christ follower, come on, God surrounds you with favor wherever you are. Come on. But that favor is for a purpose, and we'll understand. I just reminded, I think many of you know, Mayor Vico Soto won as mayor. He was a counselor, not much. Of course, being the daughter of an actor and an actress, I guess that carried, but nobody really knew him. He was one of our student leaders here, by the way, for a while. A small group leader. I just read an article a while ago, just coming here. In 2021, this is in ABS-CBN, Mayor Vico said, the city government has saved 1.2 billion pesos in the 2 years that he's been city mayor simply by doing transparent bidding in government projects. All he did was to open up the bidding, walang secret bidding. So kahit sinong contractor pwedeng manalo basta qualified ka. How many of you know God brought him into the kingdom for that particular purpose? I think the Lord deserves praise for that. Amen? Now, I know we're in Quezon City, okay? But maybe some of you are from Pasig, okay? God gives us favor for a purpose. Number two, and you'll find out what that purpose is. Number two, we have an enemy who wants us destroyed. Esther chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay homage to him, Haman was filled with fury. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone. So as they had made known to him, the people of Mordecai, Haman sought to destroy all Jews, the people of Mordecai, throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus or Xerxes. This is a huge threat to the remnant of the Jewish people who were left. And can I tell you, we shouldn't be surprised that there was a threat of annihilation among the Jews. If you will trace the history of Israel, you'll find there would be. And there's a reason for that. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. If you can get this, brother and sister, every time you encounter spiritual opposition and resistance, you will not be discouraged anymore. But you can face it head on and saying, this is why there is an enemy. And we know the enemy. He doesn't appear with a pitchfork. He uses lies. He uses deception. He uses condemnation. He uses accusation. Those are names given in the Bible. The name devil means slanderer. Sinisiraan kayo, mga kapatid. And you hear that voice. Not all the time, but every time you're discouraged. If there's one thing we need to understand, we need to be aware that we do have an enemy. Where did that enemy come from? Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the seed of this woman. And the seed of this woman will crush your head. Right when Adam and Eve sinned, this is the hope that we have. Right when our ancestors sinned, God already set in motion the redemption, and that is through that seed. And that seed is the seed of the woman, a human who will save us and rescue us. And God used individuals all throughout history, from people like Seth and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and David. And ultimately, we know who that seed was. That seed was none other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? That's the seed. And so what is the point? The point is, every time a deliverer is about to be raised up, the enemy will destroy that seed. And I believe that's so true. Think about this. When God was about to set Israel free, Moses was born, isn't it? What did Pharaoh try to do? He wanted to kill the babies. There's another point in history when that happened. Guess what? When Jesus Christ was born, come on now, Herod killed the babies as well. Is it not a surprise? Come on, think about the young generation. Come on, that's alive today. Whether they're still in the womb, whether they're children, come on, whether they're teens. The enemy wants to destroy because this generation, come on, is the one that will bring in Jesus Christ back. You don't believe me, do you? Romans 16 verse 20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Listen, the devil hates you and me. Why? Because together as the body of Christ, come on, we are the feet of Jesus. He will crush the head of Satan. Jesus will under your feet and our feet. That's what you and I are. We're the community. We're the body of Jesus Christ. It's a fight to death, brothers and sisters. But guess what? He's already defeated. Hallelujah. The only way for you to lose in this Christian life is if you quit. I hope this is not too heavy for you, okay? You'll have your dinner later, okay? But that's the context of this. There is an enemy. Number three, faith is taking a risk so God's plan and purpose will prevail. when the threat to annihilate the Jews was there, Mordecai goes to Esther. He said, "You have to appeal to the king on our behalf because they're going to kill us." And Esther, as much as she loved God and she loved her people, realized it was a great risk. What was that risk? The risk is if you go to the king, and again, King Xerxes was a despotic ruler. Mainit ang ulo lagi, mga kapatid. Pag lumapit ka sa kanya na hindi kanya tinatawag, pwede kanyang papatay just like that. And Esther understood that. She said here, "I have not seen the king for 30 days. But when Mordecai said, you know, if you don't speak up, remember, Esther means hidden. If you don't speak up, deliverance will come from somebody else. But who knows whether you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" This is why I believe the Lord raised up Queen Esther from an obscure nobody. Listen, you might think you're a nobody. It's just a matter of time. God's going to bring promotion, come on, into your life. The question is, what will you do when you're in that place? Are you going to be silent? You know, it's. This might be a trivial example. When I was still, before I became a pastor, I was working in a bank, with Citibank. And I was a Christian, yes. I wasn't very bold, but I would just, you know, whoever would be open, I'd share the gospel. And there was one time, the marketing manager, you know, we were management trainees, my good friend Chito and I. And so this marketing manager obviously was going to evaluate. I think it was one of those who would evaluate us eventually. So you had to make a good impression, right? And this marketing manager, I won't mention him, he would tell green jokes. You know what green jokes are, okay? Jokes that are sensual and, you know, not righteous. And every time he would tell a joke, I would just keep quiet. I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't condemn him, but I just kept quiet. It's not like, you know, he was trying to be funny for sure. And he didn't make much of it, but eventually, after a few months, when God was already calling me to the ministry, I think I was able to share the gospel with him. And I didn't see him, but after about maybe 12 to 15 years, I see this man again. And he tells me, he thanks me for sharing the gospel with him, because not only had he given his life to Christ eventually, he actually became a pastor, hallelujah. A pastor with CCF, okay? Just so this is concrete, okay? Come on. That was my claim to fame. I was brought into the kingdom. As you said, it's so trivial, seemingly, isn't it? Ang liit na risk yon, na hindi lang ako tumawa dun sa joke niya. But yet, that simple stance somehow lodged a thought in him. And now, come on, he's a pastor, okay? With our good friend CCF, okay? Anyway, I saw him a few weeks ago and he reminded me, he thanked me again that I didn't capitulate to the persecution. You know, our pastor in China told us this story a number of years ago. I won't mention the city because they've been going all over. The persecution in China is really worsening. When they went to this particular city, you know what he did? He went straight to the police and basically said, he introduced himself. Technically, you're not allowed to have services. Before, you could, but now, inunahan niya, sabi niya, "We're a church. We want you to know that we're meeting. We will not, you know, we will not rebel against the government, but we want you to know we're meeting." And the police officer said, "Actually, we know that. We've been monitoring you. And just to let you know, okay, because we're monitoring you, you need to be careful. But I want you to know this, okay? If anything is about to happen, we'll let you know." Hallelujah. Esther was fearful because she could literally, her life could end. But there was something in her that rose up and saying, patay kung patay. Okay, I mean, tinagalog ko lang yung sinabi niya doon, di ba? But she said this, by the way, please pray and fast for me before I talk to the king. And that's very important for us to understand. Come on, if you ever find yourself in a desperate situation, God has given us means. How desperate are you for God's intervention in your life? Guess what? God is moved when we call upon Him in our desperate times. God is never too busy, come on, to listen to your prayers if it's coming from a heart that's broken. And the last couple of days, as you know, my wife and I have been praying, I feel like maybe not so much in our, well, I know in our nation there's things underneath the surface, which in my conversations with some of our political leaders, the real threats to the security of our night, I think we're not oblivious to that, but also the political bickering that's happening, there's threats. They're monitoring the security situation in our nation. I want us to understand, come on, we can cry out to God, amen, for intervention in these things. Number four, God will turn whatever situation the enemy meant for evil into good. So we know the story, right? Well, Haman wants to hang Mordecai and wants to kill all the Jews. Esther invites him to dinner and twice, and then he basically, you know, the king holds the scepter, extends the scepter to her so she gets favor. And the king is so enthralled with her. Nagbitaw ng salita yung king. Sabi niya, anong gusto mo, iha? Hindi naman iha, mahal, okay? Iha, parang bata. Anong gusto mo, mahal? Kahit kalahati ng kaharian ko, ibibigay ko sa'yo. Ganun kalakas yung favor. I think that's just the heart of God. When we please Him, what is it that you want? Come on. God owns everything, isn't it? He said, let me. And then what was Esther's plea after the second? We're going to be sold to death by this vile Haman. If you were only going to be sold for slavery, we can bear it. But he wants us killed. And Xerxes was so incensed. You just read it. It's like his whole, kung na sabihin, umusok yung uso sa galit. He goes away, and then Haman realizes, oh no, I'm toast, I'm dead. And he falls upon Esther to plead his life. Pagbalik, ganun ka-dramatic mga kapatid, pagbalik ni King Xerxes, nandun, nakahilatay si Haman, Esther. Akala ni Xerxes, susunggaban niya yung kanyang misis. Aba, talagang wala na, tinakpan na yung ulo, dinala na, okay? That was how swift the retribution was. And I want to quote a scripture to tell you, whatever it is, if you feel like you're at a dead end and you can't find a way out, look at this verse. Galatians, Esther chapter 7. Is it there? I love this verse. Look at that. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Okay, what's gallows? Ano ba yung gallows? Garote. Basta puputulin yung ulo mo, di ba? What was meant for Mordecai ended up for the one who had that in mind. I want us to understand something about God. Come on. Whatever the enemy means for your destruction, come on, God will turn it into good. Listen. Nothing that happens to you if you stay faithful to Christ. will turn out for your destruction. God will intend it for good. I like, I didn't post it, but I love this quote. I just saw it the other day. Smith Wigglesworth said this. Potiphar's wife. Remember Potiphar? Who was Mrs. Potiphar? The wife of Potiphar, right? Okay. Mrs. Potiphar. Remember, he wanted to seduce Joseph. Remember that? Joseph wouldn't give in, right? And so sa galit ni Potiphar, nagsinungaling siya kay Potiphar. Sabi niya, this guy was trying to assault me. And what happened? Joseph was put in jail. But you know what Smith Wigglesworth said? This powerful evangelist. Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph and it led to his promotion. May every lie against you cause increase in favor to show up in your name. Listen, if you've ever been, come on, if you've ever been maligned, come on, if you've ever been lied to, come on, God will use that very lie of the enemy, come on, to bring increase and favor on your life. That's the story here. And finally, number five, I need to end this. God is at work even if we can't see Him. And this is the clincher. I've waited all this to say this. You know what's amazing about this book of Esther? And it'll make you want to read the Bible, okay, just for this. The name of God is not mentioned even once. Let me say that again. The name of Yahweh, or God Almighty, whatever name that the Bible gives Himself, is not mentioned one time in this story. Actually, there's only two books in the Bible that God's name is never mentioned, and the other one is actually Song of Solomon, okay? Which is, I guess, an interesting book as well, okay? I haven't read Solomon in decades, okay? I guess that's also R16, okay? The Bible is a wonderful book because it gives us everything about the life we live. Actually, Song of Solomon is the love relationship between a man and a woman. That's it. I mean, they're saying it's a marriage manual and all that. But so I guess there's no need to mention about God's name. But the point is this. What is the significance of God's name being mentioned? When you read the story, it's like, where is God in all of this? But listen, just because God's name is not mentioned doesn't mean God's not present, is moving in your behalf. And it may be, maybe not now, but maybe in the past or maybe in the future, you'll find yourself in a situation where you'll ask, Lord, where are you in the midst of that? And you'll remember the story of Esther, brothers and sisters, and you'll realize God is present, come on, even when He seemingly is not there. That's the covenant-keeping God we have. And as I close, what happened as a result of that is that they instituted a feast called the Feast of Purim. That feast was never initiated during the time of Israel in the wilderness. There were three feasts that the Israelites celebrated the whole time. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. But this one, it became a Jewish tradition. To this day, the Jews still celebrate the Feast of Purim to remember God's mighty deliverance upon them. And in closing, I want to just summarize this extraordinary faith that Esther displayed. And I think when we realized it, okay, these are heroes, but I'm just an ordinary Christian. Let me tell you, as good as those people were, we actually are even in a better place. You know why? Because Jesus is already in our hearts and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We're actually recipients of a much better covenant. We have the power of God living in us to give us the boldness, to give us the courage, to give us the endurance, whatever we may face. But let me tell you this, I am convinced that we are living in an hour where God is going to bring great promotion to His people. Because when God puts you in those places of responsibility, you will be used as a witness for Christ to save the lives of so many people, in whatever context that is.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join the Victory Group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.